Listen, I've never had any problem expressing my opinions, but what we're doing here is bigger than that. These are conversations that need to be had in an unfiltered way. Drag racing's all I've ever done. It's all I care to do. I respect the history, I appreciate how far we've come, but I want more for this sport, and I'll fight for it. It's uncut, it's unfiltered, this is the show of shows. The biggest names in drag racing. No holds barred. This is the great American motorsport, drag racing. Prove me wrong, I'll wait. Hey gang, Wes Buck here, Drag Illustrated Magazine. What's up? Live from the PRI show.
Live, right? Baby. Right.
Well, unbelievable, man.
Well, really incredible, yes. Man. First and foremost, we got to give a huge shout out to PRI. Like, I couldn't be happier for this group of people, what they've accomplished, what they're doing in our sport all the time. Not just this weekend, but all the time. Things are going on that a lot of times go unnoticed or completely not talked about, I guess, would be the thing to say. And we certainly appreciate it. The PRI Paddock, Podcast Paddock Studio. This thing is fantastic, right?
Yes.
We need this at the office.
Yeah, this is a new deal this
year. We'll be building it next week. I mean, that's how we do things. Like, Wes sees something, and he goes, hey, I took this picture of this thing. Let's do it.
Like, that's exactly how it goes.
We're looking, like, straight out, what is this, Capitol Avenue?
I have no idea.
Used to. That's been a few years ago when they had all the trucks and trailers down through there. And I felt bad for those guys because it'd be snowing here and they're like lined up out here having to do business that way.
It's unbelievable, to be honest. Now they got everybody parked inside. Have you guys been down to check out the trailer stuff? It's awesome down there, to be honest. Like,
if they put me outside, I would choose a different industry. I don't sell trucks and trailers anymore.
You know, no, we got out of that.
Carolina clay from Memphis, man. We don't do the cold.
I don't do cold very well at all. And I mean, the older I get, the more I'm like, you know what? It's time to take that motorhome head south.
Oh, my goodness. Well, guys, we got the formalities out of the way. I think we got to talk first and foremost, like, the biggest news in the history of NHRA drag racing. Big announcement this morning from the NHRA about Tony Stewart taking over for Leah Pruitt behind the wheel of the Tony Stewart Racing, I believe, Mobile One sponsored Top Fuel Dragster. This is significant news in the sport of drag racing, no doubt. Clay, I'm going to start with you. I mean, it's got to be exciting to think about lining up with a true motorsport legend as like Tony Stewart.
Oh, I mean, I think it'll be awesome. You know, it's an opportunity to race a guy that's won a NASCAR race. Have I ever got to do that before? Nope, I have not. I mean, it's a big deal. It's really, really cool. You know, I think that it was definitely a big announcement.
It really was. I mean, I think I got to give credit to the NHRA on the front side of this, in my opinion. I don't think they'd ever hyped anything up like that before. Like, no matter what you think about the actual news, like, the effort on the front side of it, I thought was just, it was great to see some real genuine excitement from the NHRA. They lead the charge in so many ways here in drag racing, and to see them pumped up about something, no matter where you stand on it, I do think it's great to see them really get behind it, promote it. They had a hell of a crowd there this morning for that announcement. And I do think we've seen in 2022 and 23 the value that Tony Stewart brings to the table. I mean, just his presence on the starting line in a polo is a big deal. We're all guilty by association.
You know what I'm looking forward to? The first staging battle. What's going to happen at the far end? Is it going to be some helmets thrown?
I hope so. I mean, I'm not trying to incite a riot.
I'm still not sure. Like, it's the biggest, one of the biggest announcements ever. I was expecting this announcement that there's going to be huge purses, you know, in the next year. And
I was hoping that's what it would be.
I fear you were.
I didn't know. Jim Kane in the house. What's up, Jimmy Kane? What's going on, buddy? I was just talking about you this morning. It was all positive, I promise, okay? For those that don't know, Jimmy Kane rolling through here, world famous pro mod tuner extraordinaire, and he can drive one, too.
Hey, regardless of the announcement itself, the speculation online where they dropped that, I think that was a strategic move by NHRA.
Well, and it's, for me, I got to tell you, I don't know, and I don't know what exactly this speaks to other than a really good time for the sport of drag racing, like a good moment in time. because I haven't seen that much like social commentary about anything NHRA has done. I mean, I don't believe the call out resonate. Like, you know, they've hinted at announcements before and they've made announcements, but the amount of buzz around this, I mean, a lot of people wanted to know what that announcement was this morning. I mean, I just think that is a victory.
I was getting, you know, tons of, oh, you know. I'm like, no, I don't know. I had two guesses and one of them was right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic thing for the sport. I've had a handful of people from other motorsports industries that I've spoken to about this situation, and they all told me the same thing, that they didn't, the needle would never move as much as it would, like, regarding Tony Stewart, and as it will when he drives. Like, it's great to have him here as a team owner. It's great to have him be a part of our community. But if he ever takes a notion to compete, you know, routinely on a regular basis, that's when we'll really see. And, I mean, hey, the proof's in the pudding. And this morning, Craig Cook, one of our editorial team members at DI, showed me his phone. It's on the front page of ESPN. You know, very rarely does ESPN.com report on the sport of drag racing unless it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's some crash or some highlight moment. And that tells me something, right? Yep. And we need as much of that as we can get, because that's one of the things that I think has hindered drag racing, is that we've kind of operated as a cult. You know what I mean? We kind of fly below, in my opinion, above, but we don't oftentimes get lumped in with these other major motorsports. Yep. And we need more of that guilty by association.
Clay's involved. To me, it's the power that someone like Tony Stewart brings, because he's involved in so many aspects of motorsports. And you're kind of seeing some of that too with Rick Ware and
100%.
His involvement in all of these different forms. So what's your take on that, as far as how someone that is involved in all these different forms, what does that bring to drag racing?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to start with just Tony Stewart. The guy's a legend, NASCAR Hall of Famer, you know, retired, so to speak.
Right.
And he's obviously continued to race his dirt cars. But to take what we already love, and he obviously has, boom, quick, fell in love not only with Leah but with drag racing, or the guy wouldn't have hopped in an A-fuel dragster and raced all year at divisional races, not just national events. And so him coming is obviously, it is big, big news. You know, it's pretty dang cool. And to me, what that does is hopefully we'll reach out to even more NASCAR fans that will tune in. Because while I love NASCAR, my oldest son named Cale, after Cale Yarbrough, there is nothing, and I'm going to get hit by Wes over here because I'm not taking a knock on a Pro Mod car, but there is nothing on the planet that is more exciting than a nitro-powered, I must say top fuel car, but nitro-powered car. And for a guy like Tony Stewart, is just going to obviously bring more eyeballs immediately. Will all of them stay? No. But will we get some of them? Absolutely. Because they're going to want to see what Tony's doing.
And I mean, I say this all the time, and I apologize to my Circle Track racing friends, but like in NASCAR, what's the best thing that could happen at a NASCAR race? A drag race to the finish line.
Yeah.
Like, the best thing that could happen at a NASCAR race is they come out of that final turn side by side, headed toward the checker. That's the moment they're hoping for, right?
Yeah.
They're hoping a drag race happens.
Yeah.
We do it every weekend,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's there, and I think having the opportunity to lean on Tony's audience and bring a handful of those people, like you said, you're not going to convert them all.
No.
But I do think that if we put drag racing, if we introduce our sport, the great American motorsport, to a new group of audience, we will capture some of them.
Oh,
there's
you're
no going
to get some of them, no doubt about it. I mean, even if they just tune in to see what Tony's doing. But I have to hand it to Tony, because the first time I actually met him was on a Monday at Charlotte after he had made some test laps. I didn't know what I was going to get, and he actually pulled up to me. Me and Donna were walking the dogs, and I knew what he had been doing that day, and I'm like, he introduced himself like he needed to introduce himself, but I'm like, what'd you think? And he's like, it's more than anything I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've won and done all these other things. He said, but my head is at the starting line when the car's past the 330. He's like, it's not what I thought. You know,
That it's taking him time
for
his brain to catch up to what's happening in that car. And that's something that he imparted upon
Travis Pastrana.
When Travis was making his laps, you know, in Scott Palmer's car, he kind of stepped in and said, hey, he was new to this deal.
He called him before it even started and said, you don't know until you know, you don't know until you get hit with it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people are prepared for that experience. And I think him being so candid in how he has talked about it, that's one of the issues that, especially if you consume drag racing exclusively via like television or the internet, I mean, I think admittedly, it can look pretty simple. It looks right. Simple. Oh, don't you just stand on the gas and drive in a straight line, right?
Like, that's what Clay
does.
What's
so hard about that?
Right? Well, I do.
But it's, I think it's great to have somebody like Tony that's articulate. He has a massive following, like I said, and he can explain this stuff, and it provides some credibility that, not that anybody needs it,
right?
But you need it being mentioned as much as possible.
Well, I mean, it's coming from a guy that's NASCAR Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. That changes things.
The lesson I think that we're all going to be able to take away from, I mean, and we'll close this chapter and move on to other pressing matters, but I think the lesson for me is that this is a guy who practices what he preaches, and he is a promoter. That's what this morning was. Everybody can say like, oh, NHRA, you know, they made the... Tony was driving the bus on that. Tony's team was driving the bus on this needs to be treated like a big announcement. And I preach this constantly. Like, if you treat it like a big deal, it will be a big deal, right? But if you treat it like it's just another headline or it's just another topic of conversation, then that's what it will be. And I feel like there was a concerted effort for this to be a big deal. He knows what he's doing. Right, he generated as much buzz, and people were talking about it and wondering what it was. That is masterful promotion, and you see him do it. I mean, I go back to the press conference that Mike attended in Charlotte when he announced the formation of his team. We'd never seen anything like that.
The lights were so bright. I was worried I was getting like a sunburn on the back of my neck.
You were worried about your redneck already?
I wish we had those lights here.
I mean, I can get sunburned at night.
Mike's skin makes milk look dark.
Right. It's true. I mean, and it's to me, that's the takeaway, is it's a lesson and a reminder to all of us that pomp and circumstance and putting that extra energy into those promotional endeavors, that will pay off over the time. And it may not
time. You're kind of the king of it. We haven't had a race yet. The biggest, richest, greatest race in the world.
But if I don't believe it, how can I expect anybody else to believe it?
Well, I mean, let's think about it this way. That's bringing some of the NASCAR to drag racing.
Yes,
what
it is.
I mean, it's no different than what Rick Ware has us doing all the time. I mean, I am trading social media stuff back and forth with Ryan Newman all year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Ryan Newman's watching, paying attention, and we're giving each other shout-outs.
That's what it takes, man.
I mean, Clay does it right. Yes. You know, I was talking to a young racer this morning, and I was talking about Clay, and I said, Clay does it right. You're doing some great things. Just keep on that path. Like, there's so many people that don't do it right, Clay, but you started a YouTube channel. You go to No Prep Kings events. You do drag and drive, right?
Go to motorsports events. You're constantly, and I think that again, those are lessons that we can bring from these other motorsports, because that is, I think honestly, it's ingrained in our community, in the drag racing community. I say all the time that I feel blessed to be a part of this group of people. I really do. It's my favorite people in the world, other than my immediate family, my beautiful wife right here. But it's like, we're almost like humble, this group of people, humble and so humble and so the salt of the earth, right? We have a hard time. It's uncomfortable for people to promote themselves. Their parents taught us not to do that, not to be that guy, right? And that's an incredible thing, but I think sometimes people like confuse what being humble or what humility is. Like, it's not thinking less of oneself. It's thinking of someone else more so than yourself, right? It's opening a door for an old lady. It's helping someone across the street. It's not being unwilling to tell people that you had a fantastic year or you've got a big new sponsor. Like, that's not being boisterous. That's not being, obnoxious. But I think a lot of us, just the way we were brought up, is it's not to talk about ourselves. It's not. But in this busy world we live in, especially the world we live in today with social media and all this content and all this noise, you better be making some. You better be contributing to it in some way. And to JT's point, I really think it's about not stopping. I think that if we could provide some value to people here today and get it from you, like, and I'm curious if you will agree, like, I've had people ask me, like, how do you do this? Like, how do you grow this? How do you, you just keep doing it.
You keep doing it.
You don't stop.
You don't
stop. It's marketing. I mean, like, you don't buy a full page ad one time and think you're going to sell everything off the shelves. Yep. You do it 12 times. And you hope
you do it for years and years.
But I'm just saying, within the year. And then you wait for that person to want that part, and then it pops in their mind because they've seen that ad all the time.
Our most successful advertisers are ones that have been in the magazine since day one.
Yeah.
And have seen their business
And I've seen
grow.
Their companies grow because of it. And it's like, and it's not, it's nothing more so than not stopping.
Yeah.
It's nothing contributes more. I mean, how many times...
Yeah, Clay's an example of that.
You won 11 years before you won, right? An NHRA Top Fuel national event.
I think
event.
It's more than that, actually, okay. But whatever.
But I mean, how many people have you seen come
19.
And go?
19.
Okay. So almost two decades. How many teams and how many drivers have you interfaced with over the years that didn't make it 19 races before they threw in the towel?
But, I mean, you just got to keep going. You know, for me, it's a running joke with Donna, my wife, and my sisters, Tracy and Lee. They're like, content, content, content. That's all they hear from me, you know. And I'm constantly looking for what can I do that makes people want to pay attention to what our team is doing. You know, it's not about me. Right. You know, you're just saying
it is kind of about you.
Well,
because,
I know.
Because everybody loves you, Clay.
But I don't put it out there that way.
But that's right. I mean, like, people want to follow you because you are genuine. You do put yourself out there. You care. But you care about people. You know, and we everybody can tell.
JT wants to take you to dinner later tonight too.
His dinners last too long. I know JT.
Yeah, they do last a while.
Dinner, not afterward. That. Don't do anything
unless you could.
Unless you sign a waiver. JT's got a waiver that you have to sign if you're going to hang out with him past dinner.
That's like going to the casino with Captain Chaos.
I've
done that.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of those stories.
Yeah. I kind of want to go with him sometime. You know,
you should go with him sometime.
You would
you
fit
guys.
Right in.
Oh,
you would
boy.
Fit right in.
Let's talk about, speaking of making noise and promotion and everything, the next big thing we've got on the horizon, the Skag Power Equipment Pro Superstar Shootout presented by Johnson's Horsepower Garage, Bradenton Motorsports Park, Bradenton, Florida, coming up 1st of February.
Yep,
or the February
1st week of February. 8th, 9th, and 10th.
I was just there.
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
It's crazy,
they're
right?
They're tuning that place up, man.
They are. I was paying attention to what's going on next door. They're working their tails off. I cannot wait to get there. I mean, that's going to be the coolest thing. Me, unlike a lot of the people that will be racing there, I've done a lot of match racing. I've done races that pay big money. Not this much money, but...
You mean like running 8th mile at Huntsville Dragway for 100 grand?
101,
sorry.
Right, I mean, I'm what I'm the most excited about is having the opportunity to start 2024 off with a bang. Like, I think that is one of the coolest things about the Rocket City Nationals, man.
That was the name of the event.
This is well done. They did it like a political flyer.
Yeah.
Is that like an original from that event?
No, I just met the guy that runs the racetrack there and Huntsville, and he's like, man, you won the biggest race ever there, and he handed me this, and he's like, you ever want to come back and do a match race, just here's my number. But this is a pretty cool deal. I thought it was like a political flyer as well, kind of promoting he's there, and he's doing improvements at that racetrack, and
awesome.
I love that.
That's a cool little track, and always has been.
Oh, yes.
And a good track surface. I mean, a lot of people think that place, you know, they have preconceived notions or whatever, but that's actually a pretty good track. When ADRL was going there, obviously your performance there.
What'd you run there?
Oh, my goodness, Wes. I've had a lot of tire shakes since that happened.
I mean, what?
In the three, I mean, three something, you know.
250 or
yeah,
two,
yeah.
So, because it's not as short as you think it is either.
No, it's not as long as you think it is either.
Well, there's not a level, at least when I was there, there's not a level spot in the entire pits. It all runs downhill.
Quick story. So they had a test day before. We're talking about the Rocket City Nationals, paid $101,000 on July 4th. I do not remember what year, like 2004, something like that.
I'll say 04.
George Howard, huge promoter, first guy to do $1 million bracket race. Anyway, they had a test day. So I make a run. I'm big on the radio thing. Mike Clover comes on. He's like, you good? Everything all right? You know, we were worried about it being a little short.
Yep.
And I finally hopped on the radio. I'm like, I'm good. Made it kind of close to the corn stalks, but we made the corner. But after that, game on. You know what I mean? It was like you just got to find out where the limit is and where we need to go and how soon you need to pull the parachute.
Yeah. Do you think that gives you any kind of advantage going into Bradenton? I mean, totally different deal. Obviously, Bradenton is a quarter-mile track, plenty shut down. All the amenities are going to be there. But because it's not an NHRA national event track and it's a little bit outside the norm for these guys, do you think that your experience with IHRA and with events like the Rocket City deal, do you think that gives you an advantage going into this?
Not really, to be honest with you, but here's what's going around, and y'all will love this because y'all are so involved in this event. I'm getting text messages, actually got a phone call. I'm not going to say from who, but the question that's going around right now is, are you going to run legal? Think about that. That's never been an option in Top Fuel. Are you going to run legal? And meaning 100% nitro?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, I don't see us changing our combination, but I love the fact that people are starting to ask me, are you going to run legal? You know, they just added 50 pounds to the top fuel cars. So are you going to run at the weight you're currently at? Are you going to run at the new weight? Those are all, I think, options because we're not.
Absolutely.
Well, it's and this event kind of is born out of preseason testing. And I think in a normal situation, you would say, oh, yeah, no, we're testing. Oh, we're going to get
testing,
ready for the season.
Yes, but not for that kind of money.
For the additional stakes, again, for this race and it being, you know, the first of its kind, are we going to see some people forego testing in an effort to win this race?
Well, I will say that was one of the things that I've heard from a lot of the race teams is like, hey, don't get this twisted. And I said this early on. I have no interest personally in being involved in a test session. Like, none. I mean, I actually told them, leading up to it, absolutely.
But then the
race, it has to be a real race. It cannot be some like glorified test session where we're going to throw some money around. It has to be a meaningful race. And it was funny because you talk to Tasca, you talk to Robert Height, you talk to these guys, and they're like, oh no, we're coming to race. We're coming to win this deal. There's only going to be one first. Right,
yeah,
it only happens the first time once, and people want to have to make that mark on the history books.
Well, let's face it, it's one race. What's the payout? 200?
250,000.
250 grand to win.
1.3 million.
How many races do you got to win in NHRA to equal that much money?
I don't know. I thought we were going to hear some news today, but then maybe change that math, but we didn't.
Pays 50 grand to win a top fuel race. Y'all are paying 250 grand. We're racing. It's for real.
It's for real.
It's for real. That's a $250,000.
Yeah.
The championship pays 500 grand.
Mm-hmm. Right, to go
one
win.
One race versus 22 to try to win a championship.
I mean, I just think that this is, I hate it in some ways because I do recognize that, you know, the money leanings too heavily on the purse, like as a promotional device, it's problematic. You know what I mean? Because you're like, all of a sudden, that's what the expectation becomes. However, that's why we did this the way we did it, because there's nothing I want more than it to pay $1 million.
Right.
And I think we probably could have pulled that off. But it's also like, okay, we got to start
somewhere.
And we got to build up to it. What's going on, guys? And I think that over the course of time, like, that's where we're headed. There has to be, I mean, you look at World Series of Poker, you look at all these other events that happen outside of the motorsports community. There's a big dollar. There's always a stack of cash somewhere. There's always a bag full of money. There's always a big check with a lot of zeros on it. And I mean, in this modern world we live in, going back to trying to make noise and trying to cut through, it takes those big numbers. And we recognize that as part of our marketing spend in a lot of ways. Because when you are able to tell people that we're bringing the baddest drag racers, the best racers in the world to a single location to do battle for $250,000, that sells it.
That's why the Kentucky Derby, the Masters, you know, all these other sports. That's why that they promote how much that all the racers or all the golfers or whatever sport it is. That's why they promote the money, because they know it's serious.
Well, let's face it.
From outside looking in.
In your world, we would not know anything about LIV Golf if it wasn't for the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. The money put that
it did on the
page.
It did.
Front page.
Yep.
Just saw another announcement today regarding that with John Rahm.
Yep.
Is he taking the $565 million or whatever it was?
It was something crazy.
$100 million a year for several years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, I got to get better at golf.
Yeah, JT. You're in the wrong career.
But it is. You need to leave here and go straight to the golf course.
I do.
And the stakes of this race, but also some unique aspects to it. The chip draw, the racing at night. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, those are things that we don't see in NHRA. In our opinion, we don't see enough nighttime racing with these cars.
Well, it takes me straight back to my IHRA days.
Yeah.
We did race at night.
Oh, yeah.
We did those things, and you know, that also suits me personally, because you're not gonna call me at 8 o'clock in the morning and catch me up.
Me
I'm just
either,
telling
man.
You.
For different reasons, JT. Yeah. Different reasons.
But I mean, it does. It's a throwback to the match race days. You know, the night races. Everybody loves the header frames. I mean, why would you not take advantage of the
100%.
One of the coolest things about nitro cars? The header frames. You
it
know,
is.
And that's
it's awesome.
That's why Wes over here loves the nitrous cars.
It is.
We used to. Yeah. Then now they got zoomies, man.
Yeah.
We got to get those bullhorns.
Got to get
back
the bullhorns back.
Yeah. We got to get the bullhorns back. But no, I mean, I think we've got to lean into our sports strengths. right? One of them is that spectacle, right? The visual spectacle that it is. But it's also like all the other things. Like, I'm really proud of, we've got an incredible program coming together for, the production value of this event, it has never been seen before in drag racing, not even remotely close. So the level of production that we're bringing to Bradenton Motorsports Park, I'm super excited about. We've got music, DJs, food trucks, vendors. I mean, it's going to be an electric, I would say, like a festival atmosphere in a lot of ways. And that's what I'm the most excited about, is just evolving the drag racing event experience. It needs to evolve. We've got some people that are leading the charge in our space. Motor Trend puts on a great events. I believe the World Series of Pro Mod has started down that path. But it's like, we need more of that. We need more modern events.
So it wasn't drag racing, but I kind of mentioned it about being in Bradenton. The show that Garrett Mitchell, a.k.a. Yep. Cletus McFarland, puts on. I mean, I just was part of the 2.4 hours of Les Mullets. The show was unreal. Monster trucks jumping from outside the racetrack. Fireworks.
That's so awesome, right?
You know, when the thing ended, you had 20 cop cars out there doing burnouts. I mean, the show was unreal. And it wasn't about time slips. It wasn't about that, you know? It was just about a heck of a show.
I couldn't agree more. And there's some people in our space that are paving the way, that are showing the path that we need to go down, because that's really what it is. I mean, I heard Brian Lone say this one time. He said, the most dangerous words in the English language, because that's the way we've always done it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of truth to that. Like, it's just the way we've always done it. Why change it? And you know what, man? I'm a break it kind of guy. Like, I just am. Shout out to my boy Eric Church, right? That's my favorite song in the world, Break It kind of guy. But I'm kind of a Break It kind of guy.
Have to
Google
that.
Like, you got to do it different, right? I mean, every once in a while, you've got to try to shake things up and do it a little different. Are you not an Eric Church guy?
I'm not a country music guy, period.
You're not a music guy.
That's surprising.
What are you?
I'm 100%
what are you like?
Music. Okay. New metal?
Get it.
What are you into, Clay?
I'm a rap.
You're a rap.
A rap music
I kind of thought that. I don't know.
I'm a rap music guy.
We're from Memphis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 3-6 Mafia, baby.
3-6 Mafia. Sipping on some scissors. Yeah. Right. No, so we're talking about we could dive right into a pretty. I have a really eclectic music taste.
Don't get Wes started on
this. So I listen to everything. I mean, I literally listen to everything. My kid's in band, so I listen to the weird classical stuff that he listens to. I listen to rap,
I love high
rock,
school
drummers, music.
Drumming. Oh, high school marching bands.
Yeah, Drumlines.
Yes.
I've watched that movie Drumline like 50 times.
You and my wife.
Yeah. You need more to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I need more to do.
Yeah, you need more to do. Yeah. If you've watched Drumline 50 times, we're adding to his schedule moving forward.
Man, I'm not going to get on this subject because we don't have enough time, but the Break It guy, I like that, because through all of this, and you did a great job, and I'll compliment you here when I tell what I'm saying, that's because that's always did it. The whole loose ballast, fine, all that crap that I went through in Dallas, our team did, you know, we ask a lot of questions, and a lot of those answers was because that's the way we've always did it. That's not a good answer.
It's not
a good
answer. Nope.
And again, this will take a whole show for us to cover this, and we will at some point. But your little video I saw on delivery of news is sometimes more important than the news itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're right on that. You're dead on correct.
I mean, I sell it to our team all the time. It's like, we get real, everybody, whenever there's bad news especially, right? But it's like, if you just communicate it effectively, treat people like human beings, upfront, honest, own mistakes. I mean, because that's like I tell our guys, we're going to screw up. We're going to do it wrong. We're going to make the wrong call. We're going to, you know, but you just got to own it, right? And then you've got to communicate it. And it's very rarely, if you do a good job, like, sharing that information, because I've had to share a lot of tough information, you know what I mean? You put on a race and you got to deliver some bad news, right?
Yep.
But if it's all about the way you do it. And I can only imagine the way that we saw it from the media perspective and from the outside, from the fan perspective, is it's like, okay, this news was not effectively communicated.
No, it was not.
Well, after
again,
we
don't have enough time for this whole story, but I just wanted it doesn't have to be done the way we've always done it. It's where I was headed with that. You are 100% correct. There are so many different ways we could do what we're doing and make it entertaining and make people want to come see it that are not drag racing's not been the same since they quit racing quarter mile. I'm over that.
Yeah, yep. Same.
I'm over that.
That ship has sailed, and I do think that we have to be willing to evolve. We have to try new things. We got to swing the bat as much as we can. I'm of the opinion is until we're turning people away at the gates of these events, we need to be trying new ways to get them out there. And whether that's giving away tickets, however you have to do it, find a way to get people to the racetrack because the sport will do the rest of the work for you. Like drag racing, if you can get them there, they will come back.
Yeah, the people in motorsports will. I mean, they're such good people. You walk around this PRI show and you'll run in, I mean, it's just booth after booth after booth of nice people and, oh my God, that guy's so nice. And you go back and you tell your buddies, oh my God, you know, remember 5 years ago when we ran into that guy and he did something for us? I mean, that everybody here is willing to lend a hand, I guess.
Yeah, they find a way. We always say that through the economy, through election years, we always talk
COVID.
About that. COVID.
Yep.
Racers find a way.
And
I think this show is good proof of that. I heard a lot of people this morning when we walked in, did you see the registration?
Mike, you weren't here this morning.
Okay. mid morning, whatever you want to say. But a lot of foot traffic here today. A lot of the registration line was wrapped around the building, from what I understand. So, again, they find a way, and this show in particular is an example of that.
It is.
It is a passion sport. No two ways about it. It's a passion sport. And all these years, you know, like I make a living essentially making sure that the race car has sponsors. Let's face it. That's really how I make a living. And what we have always found, if you can get, it doesn't matter who it is, what company they're with, what level they're at, if you can just get them to come and see it, you got them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing back to the Tony Stewart deal, where I think we'll get some NASCAR people that have never paid no attention. They probably raised an eyebrow when, you know, he and Leah got married and they're like, oh, that's cool. And then they probably a little more when he got an A-fuel car, but they've not really seen him on primetime television.
Yeah, like I mean, he's going to now also be classified as a professional drag racer.
Right,
and
yeah.
That's the biggest stage, the fastest cars. And I think most people, if you close your eyes and think of a drag car, you think of a top fuel dragster, right? Like that's the quintessential drag car. So
when we see a lot of these guys, Clay, like at Charlotte in particular, I see Joey Logano walking around, Ryan Newman, you know, strolling through the staging lanes, talking to Force and you and the other guys. You kind of have an in now with those guys. What are they saying about this whole deal? What are they saying about Tony or drag racing in particular?
Well, drag racing in particular, most of them are like, no freaking way. No thank you. Don't want no part of it. You're nuts. You know, that sort of thing. And I'm like, well, you know, I probably could say the same thing about you at a pack of 38 cars at Talladega at 210 miles an hour and y'all are bumping each other, you know?
Yeah. I tell people, hey, man, these drag racers, like when we paint these cars or wrap them or make them look nice, we're not intending to go out and bring this thing home in you know, a barrel, a bucket, or a bucket of parts later. This thing's got to stay nice forever. That, to me, like what you're saying, that's the crazy part. They just tear the stuff up, fix it, go back out the next week. We're trying to avoid that at all costs.
100%. Right. You don't see a lot of like drag racing parts on the walls of restaurants.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we don't want to tear that stuff up, you know. But you go to any of them and there's like a late model door piece of sheet metal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which is kind of funny you say that because I stopped by the shop the other day. I was only there for a few hours, so don't be mad at me. I didn't call you.
Okay, yeah, Clay.
You can watch it on the YouTube.
Eventually, one day.
But the kids were all gathering up like, you know, old rods, pistons. They were making a scrap run, and they had already made one. Just basically, year in, clean the shop out of all the blown-up stuff. And they took the front half of one of our crash cars, and, you know, with the guy at the scrapyard, like, what is that? And he's like, that's the front of a race car. I'm like, I ain't never seen no race car like that. That ain't what normally comes in. You know, he's used to the NASCAR, you know, parts and pieces coming in. So it's crazy.
It really is. What do you think about, like, you were talking about your job and getting sponsors, and I think that there's a whole lot of people that are here, you know, doing that same type of work. If they're not, you know, working with existing sponsors, they're trying to meet some people, they're trying to network. How much has this, I mean, you talked earlier, my life's content. I'm just curious, like, what has been the reaction from your established partners, like the Parts Pluses and Walmart and all these other companies that you've worked with for a while? It seems to me that one of the opportunities that exist for racers is to provide content to these brands that need it. They need cool stuff to put in front of their audience, and a car or a driver with their name on it. I mean, that seems like, has that become a part of your life more than you realize?
100%. You know, it's funny. I've kind of started saying I've become an accidental YouTuber. It happened during COVID. I didn't know I was going to be doing this all the time. But now it is part of my job. At the end of every month, I have to send a YouTube analytics to multiple of my sponsors because they are now interested in those numbers. How many people are watching? What's going on? You know, and I've shared awesome. Some of those with you guys before. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy how many people are watching my little YouTube channel, you know, but sponsors, I mean, I'll just tell you, you know, like Summit loves it because I'm not just working on the Top Fuel car. You know, I'm doing other things. I'm working out in the shop. I'm going to different events, doing different things, but it has become a big part because it's not just Summit. I pointed them out, but it's several of those companies. The first of the month, they want to see what the YouTube did.
But you've hit a whole different group, though, when you do that stuff, you know, and it expands their reach as well.
Yes.
You know,
It's so much more than a decal on a car. Absolutely. We say that a lot. It is. That used to be, hey, man, I'll slap that on there, and I'm done. Now it's so much more than that.
You know, we have partners, I hate to keep saying sponsors, they're really partners, that don't even care about the decal on the car anymore. You know,
that's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, you know,
because one of my favorite stories, Tony Schumacher told me this a long time ago. He tells this story about going in for a pitch meeting with No Limit. No Fear, excuse me. You remember the No Fear brand or whatever? Yeah. Monster brand. He comes in, and this is, you know, the classic sales pitch. He's got the easel with the board on it, right? Pulls the black, the cloth off of it, and it's this incredible rendering of the Top Fuel dragster with No Fear on it. It looks awesome, and it's got the truck and trailer on it or whatever. And they listen to Tony's whole deal, and it kind of gets to the what do you think thing. And they told him, all of this sounds wonderful, but No Fear doesn't sponsor machines. It sponsors athletes. He told me it completely changed his perspective on this because they didn't want a race car with their logo on it. They wanted an ambassador for their brand, a human being, somebody that people could talk to and engage with and relate to or become a fan of or whatever the case is. And I think that is something that's becoming more and more prevalent. I mean, that was a long, long time ago. That brand's long, so I don't even know what happened to it. But anyways, my point is that's where we're headed. And I think the more people that can embrace that and lean into, you're the only you, right? No one else can do it better. Yeah. You're you. And if you've got a story to tell, it's worth sharing. And a lot of times the process of telling that story and the product of that, the content that comes from that, can be really valuable to these brands that are facing the same thing that we face every morning when it's like, what are we going to put on social today, right? Everybody feels that pressure to post.
To Kayla now. Kayla, yeah. But I mean, put some
shout out, Kayla. Thank
a
you.
A lot of these brands, I think, are looking around going, how do we fill all these buckets? I mean, I remember we tell this story all the time about we thought Drag Illustrated was a lot of work when we were just printing a magazine. Once a month, right? I mean, that is so, like, it's a big part of our operation, but it's one of many, right? Like, that back then it was, okay, we gotta have a website. Well, we gotta have an email list. Oh my gosh, we gotta get active on social. Okay, now we gotta have a YouTube channel. Okay, now we gotta put on our own events. And it's all fantastic, but it just speaks to the insatiable beast that it is. It's content, content, content. And if you can find a way, you know, if anyone's out there listening and you're walking around today and you're gonna bump into somebody or you're gonna plan on meeting someone, like, go check out their social. If they haven't posted anything today or if they haven't posted anything this week, right, because their team's out of the office or whatever, there's an opportunity for you to solve the problem for them.
It's 100%. Right? You know, those companies want to know, what can you do for me? You can't. You have to do something. What that is, figure out a way. Figure out a way to get their name out there.
Find a way to
provide.
I don't
care if you're going and knocking on doors and telling people that, you know, how great their product is, but you got to find a way to get it in their hands.
You got to find their pain point.
We have about 3 minutes left here. Just give me a quick rundown, real quick, of what you think of the show so far. You know, start with Mike.
Well, I mean, we just said earlier, a lot of foot traffic. It looks like, good, well attended show as always. A lot of excitement. The announcements. Besides the Tony Stewart deal, we've seen a couple other drag racing related announcements. Buddy Hull is going to be running with Jim Dunn this next year. Clay, you got any big announcements that we need to break here?
It'll be on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
See, you can't even get to us.
Hit subscribe, y'all. Yeah.
Well, hey, make sure if you want to continue this conversation or if you want to ask any of us anything, feel free to swing by the Drag Illustrated booth, 1505. Remember, tonight, Drag Illustrated After Hours, powered by Racers Club, our official tequila of the night, El Bandito Tequila, right down the street at Envy Nightclub. DJ Brandy Cyrus.
Yep.
I called Brandy Miley Cyrus. Like 15 times, couldn't get Miley to answer my call. And
she got me blocked.
What? I'll just text her big sister and see what Brandy's up to. And sure enough, she's going to come do a set tonight at the party. So we're going to have DJ Brandy Cyrus at 11 p.m. We're going to have giveaway $1,000 cash. I got a whole bunch of ones. I got them, like, they're plastic wrapped.
They are. They're all ones. I hope somebody wins it and goes upstairs and makes it rain all over the dance floor.
If I win it,
it's a requirement.
Matter of fact, it's going to be a requirement. If you win the money, you got to throw it out to the crowd. So,
Mike, just pull my number.
I already pulled. Let me see what number I'm wearing here. I'm pulling 346.
Oh,
actually.
Speaking of music, guess what I pulled out of the pile last night?
What's
311. One of my favorite bands, right? So great band. The soundtrack of my youth.
How about those?
I got 311.
How about those? Like Off-White.
Oh, so sick.
Got the zip tie, got everything.
Branded zip tie. Check that out. Branded zip tie play. It says Drag Illustrated. It says zip tie.
You know,
sick.
In Tennessee, we use them to put in a cow's ear so you can keep up with the cows.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, we don't. We have guns for that.
Seriously, thank you guys so much for being a part of this. A huge shout out to PRI, the Performance Racing Industry Trade Show, everything they do, not only this weekend, but year round to better the sport of drag racing and all of motorsports for that matter. And Clay, thanks for joining us.
I probably
could have done 2 or 3 more hours.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see if they want us to come back later.
When they gave
Wes 45 minutes, I was like, yeah, all right.
Well, and I found a way to go over. So, anyways, guys, thank you all so much for showing up. Mike, JT, Clay, thank you guys. We'll see you next time. Remember, Drag Illustrated, click like, click subscribe. Help us spread the gospel of drag racing, and we'll see you at the track.
I got to give you my wrap up from YouTube right here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate you watching, liking, subscribing, sharing, and we will see you in the next one.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, y'all.
Appreciate it.